Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we want to begin our lesson by reading verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer. He originally sent these words to the congregation that met in the city of Ephesus. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. These verses reveal some very important instructions for God's people. In verse 15, we are taught to walk circumspectly. That means to live and conduct ourselves in a way that pleases the Lord. From the latter part of verse 15, we are taught to live wisely rather than foolishly. Verse 16, as we studied this morning, we're taught to redeem the time, that is to make the very best use of our time. And then in verse 17, we are to understand the will of the Lord. Those are some very important instructions. They're brief, they're to the point. But if we will follow them with the Lord's help, we'll be blessed as a result of it. This evening, we're especially interested in the admonition to walk circumspectly. And in our lesson, we want to look at some verses found in Ephesians 5, also in chapter 6, that teach us how to walk circumspectly. This morning we talked about how to redeem the time or how to make the best use of our time. This evening we want to consider some passages that teach us how to walk circumspectly. We know that's what the Lord wants us to do because that's what we're taught to do. But we need to understand what that involves. Now, there are other verses in the Bible that deal with this matter of walking circumspectly, but we want to look at some passages in the immediate context that deal with living and conducting ourselves in such a way that the Lord is pleased. Let's back up to the beginning of chapter 5, and we want to point out from the first 14 verses that we are to walk circumspectly as we follow God. Notice how verse 1 of chapter 5 begins, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now that's the main point that is made in the first 14 verses. We're given some information that will help us in endeavoring to be followers of God. Well, we need to consider this matter of walking circumspectly as we follow God. As we endeavor to follow God, we must imitate the example of Christ. Notice what verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." If we'll just always endeavor to imitate the example of Christ, we'll be going in the right direction. Let's look at verses 3, 4, and 5. We learn from these verses that as we endeavor to follow God, we must avoid sinful activities. Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now remember, the main point being made in the first part of this chapter is that we're to endeavor to be followers of God. That's a very important part of walking circumspectly. As we endeavor to be followers of God, we're to imitate the example of Christ. And we learn from the verses we just read, verses 3 through 5, that we must avoid sinful activities. Now, several specific activities are mentioned. These are a few. There are many others that could be listed. But then, Paul goes on to show us in verses 6 through 14 that as we endeavor to follow God or be followers of God, we must avoid evil influence. Follow the example of Christ, avoid sinful activities, but then we must avoid evil influence. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Also let's keep in mind what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. He said, Don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So we are to walk circumspectly as we endeavor to be followers of God. More specifically, we need to always imitate the example of Christ. Then we must avoid sinful activities. Not only are we to avoid sinful activities, but the Bible teaches us to avoid evil influence. You see, that type of influence will lead to a sinful activity, which of course is contrary to following the example of Christ. I'm always amazed at how Peter described our Lord. He said he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What more could be said of someone than that? Jesus did no sin. He was tempted. And the matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews says he was tempted on all points like as we are, yet without sin. So as we endeavor to walk circumspectly, we're to endeavor to be followers of God. But now, let's go down to verse 18. We want to look at verses 18 through 21. We learn from these verses that we are to walk circumspectly as we develop spiritually. Now, several things are mentioned in connection with spiritual development. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A very important part of spiritual development is being filled with the Spirit. Now, some people have the mistaken idea that being filled with the Spirit means that we can do all types of fantastic things, even miracles. But I think it's interesting that the Bible teaches that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit, even from his mama's womb. But there's also a statement that says, John did no miracle. We're to endeavor to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit communicates us through the written word. And, of course, we're not to quench him. We're to listen to what he says and follow his leading. Spiritual development involves being filled with the Spirit. But then look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A very important part of spiritual development is offering praise. And the Bible teaches us how to do that with the Lord's blessing in his church. We're to use psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. You see, the Bible prescribes the method in which we're to offer praise. But offering praise is a very important part of spiritual development. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another very important element in spiritual development is giving thanks. And notice what it says. Giving thanks how often? My Bible says always. For how many things? My Bible says for all things. In whose name? In the name of our Lord. And that gratitude is to be expressed unto God. A very important part of spiritual development is giving thanks. You know, it just makes sense that as we endeavor to be followers of God as dear children, that we'd want to offer thanks unto God. Sometimes I see families that are very closely knit, especially parents and children. You can tell that they have a very close relationship. And quite often I've noticed that the children are grateful to the parents. That creates a very close bond. Well, doesn't it just make sense that if we're going to be followers of God as dear children, that we want to offer thanks unto Him always for all things? And then there's something else we need to mention in connection with spiritual development, and that is concern for other people. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we've already pointed out from the opening verses of this chapter that as we endeavor to be followers of God as dear children, it's imperative that we walk circumspectly. But then concerning our spiritual development, mentioned in verses 18 through 21, we're also to walk circumspectly. But let's continue. From the remaining verses in chapter 5 and in the opening verses of chapter 6, we're taught to walk circumspectly as we fulfill our family responsibilities. You know, I would think many people today would be very uncomfortable looking at these verses. But God put these verses in His book a long time ago. His word is everlasting. He intends for us to live by them. And we will be judged by them at that last great day. And these words will never vanish away. These verses talk about the relationship that exists among family members, specifically wives, husbands, children, and fathers. If we're going to walk circumspectly, as the Bible teaches us, we're going to have to fulfill our family responsibilities. Now, some of these things we're about to examine are not popular in the world, but they're right. God put them in His book. And as I said a moment ago, we will be judged by them at that last great day. So doesn't it just make sense that we'd want to do these things to the very best of our ability? Let's begin with the responsibilities of wives. In verses 22, 23, and 24 of chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. If you'll look at these verses very carefully, you will see that The things mentioned in connection with wives can be boiled down to one main responsibility, as being in submission to the husband. That's not to be a put down on women in any way, but this is the way God designed the home. He first made Adam. He saw that it wasn't good for the man to be alone, so he took care of that problem. He made Eve. I always like to point out, and I'm not the one who originated this, I've learned it from others, God did not select a bone from Adam's head that Eve might rule over him. God did not select a bone from Adam's foot that he might walk all over her. Rather, he took a bone from Adam's side, near to his heart, to be under his arm of protection, and that there would be a close relationship. If we're going to walk circumspectly, and we understand the importance of doing that, we're going to have to fulfill our family responsibilities. And I've always thought it was interesting that the Apostle Paul begins with wives. Do you suppose he knew the actual center of the home would be? The wife holds the family together. Now let's look at the responsibilities of husbands, continuing at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, several matters are discussed in these verses, but if you look at everything that's said, you can boil it all down to one main responsibility that God has given to the husband. That is to love his wife. Now, that's a far-reaching responsibility. But you know, if a husband will love his wife as Christ loved the church, and the woman is in subjection to her godly husband, you've got the foundation for a happy home. Well, it's God's will that children come from a husband and a wife. Let's look at the responsibilities of children in chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children are taught to obey their parents. Well, who has the main responsibility in teaching that to the children? Verse 4 deals with the responsibilities of fathers. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's sad today that in many families, a father is not around. We're paying the price in our country because of that situation. But you can tell when a child has been raised by a godly daddy. You can just tell it. You don't have to have a PhD to see it either. All you have to do is open your eyes. Children have to be taught, they have to be nurtured, they have to be corrected, and they need to be instructed in the way that they should go. Who's given that responsibility? The father. Now, if the father's not present, the mother tries her best to do what she can do, but God gave that responsibility to the father. And when the father's not there, that's a sad situation. Well, if we're going to walk circumspectly, it's imperative that we fulfill our family responsibilities. Once again, we learn from Ephesians 5 and verse 15 that the Lord requires his people to walk circumspectly. That means to live and conduct ourselves in a way that pleases the Lord. From these two chapters in the book of Ephesians, we have seen that we are to walk circumspectly as we endeavor to follow God, as we endeavor to develop spiritually, and as we fulfill our family responsibilities. But let's remember those instructions that are given in connection with walking circumspectly. As we endeavor to walk circumspectly, as we've been studying, let's pursue wisdom and avoid foolishness. And that just seems to make sense, doesn't it? That point is made in the latter part of verse 15 of Ephesians 5. As we endeavor to walk circumspectly, let's redeem the time because the days are certainly evil. And as we endeavor to walk circumspectly, let us understand the will of the Lord. Before we can follow the will of the Lord, we have to understand it. All of these instructions go together, and I'm persuaded that if we will concentrate on carrying out these instructions, I know God will be pleased because he's the one who gave us these instructions. We will be blessed. And I appreciate the request that Gary often makes in his prayer for God to help us to be the kind of people that he wants us to be. That doesn't happen by accident. I'm persuaded if we will follow these instructions that we've been looking at today in our lessons, we will be the kind of people that the Lord wants us to be.